This is the Higher Ed Tech Podcast, Season 3, Episode 14, Conference Strategies in the Time of COVID.
Welcome to today's Higher Ed Tech Podcast. I'm Tim Van Norman, the instructional technologist here at Irvine Valley College.
And I'm Brent Warner, professor of ESL here at IVC. We both enjoy integrating technology into the classroom, which is what this show is all about.
Welcome, and we're glad you're here with us. So Brent, anything new?
Well, by the time this comes out, we're getting pretty close to coming back to campus for us. So we'll be back on next week. We've got a kind of a weird long weekend going on. Next week, I think we're officially coming back on the 23rd for teaching classes. Yep. So that'll be fun. I've been checking out the classrooms. I've been on campus some days teaching from my office, just to kind of mix things up and not be in my bedroom, teaching from my bedroom all the time. But I've been on campus a few times and I've been checking out the rooms. There's a lot of cool stuff going on campus, a lot of like nice upgrades that have happened over the last couple of years that pretty much nobody has seen. Some of us have seen it. And then, so I'm just looking forward to, there's concern about everything, but I think overall I feel pretty comfortable with going back at this point, to campus. Lots of COVID protocols in place, lots of refreshed HVACs and masks in all the rooms and just clean stations and all these types of things. So yeah, I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, it's good seeing people back on campus.
Yeah.
Not very many people, but you know, I think about the last 2 years basically, and it's good to see people, see faces again.
Yeah, it was a bit of a ghost town for a while, right? Like, I mean, there were some times when, like, you could tell there's, like, a difference between when there's people moving and things are happening or when, like, the whole campus was, like, actually totally shut down.
Yeah.
And it's like, ooh, that's there. You could feel the emptiness of it. It was kind of creepy a few times. So, it'll be good. But speaking of going back to in-person, today we're going to be jumping in and talking a little bit about conferences, which are starting to move back in person too. Let's jump over.
So we decided to talk about conference strategies, how to attend a conference in this world where everything is constantly changing. In fact, I saw an announcement for a conference today and it said, hey, if you want to be a presenter, be prepared to present online or in person. We're planning on being in person, but just in case.
But you never know.
You never know. And then the question becomes, okay, so this is going to be an online conference or is this an in-person conference? In the in-person conference, is it also going to be online? And, you know, so there's a lot of these things going on.
Oh, yeah.
And I think your strategy for attending them might be different depending on what type of conference it is and stuff like that. And frankly, some of these online conferences that I've attended, I've spent less than an hour at the conference, the whole 3 days or whatever it was, because I've just been too busy. Yeah. And so looking at how do you attend a conference if it's online? What about if it's high flex? And what about if it's truly in person? Because there are some nuances now that I think are coming out. And I've had people say, I will never attend an in-person conference again.
Oh yeah. It's a full thing. There's like all sorts of opinions, hot takes, whatever. And I think we'll kind of break down each of them. First, I guess I'll say, like, I totally understand anyone's desire to do any of these varieties. Like, if you're like, I need to be in person, and if you're like, I will never be in person again, like, I totally get both of those sides of things. But I think, because of the changing landscape of things, I think is a good topic for now. We did talk about conferences a couple of years ago. I don't know, so like maybe in season one or something. But we probably talked about it since then.
Couple of times, yes.
Yeah. So, but we wanted to jump into some of these. I think we'll start by sharing some of the upcoming conferences because some of the ones that we're looking at are some varieties of these things, right? And so I think it's worth, we're sharing a little bit about this and a little understanding a little bit. So, so Tim, what's the first one you got in your line here?
So going by when they're coming up, March 17th through 19th Q.
Yeah, that's my
and actually, this is yours. This is one that you are involved in and everything.
Yeah. So I'm pretty, I'm well involved with Q. Different parts of the organization. I have a lot of friends and colleagues who are very into it. And so Q is a computer using educators. It's kind of the ed tech. It's the West Coast main primary affiliate of ISTE. So ISTE is the big international society for teachers for technology and education, right? And so that's the major one. And ISTE is having their presentation also, or sorry, their conference is also coming up in the summer. But Q is coming up just right around spring break time. And they're doing a mixed version. So they're doing in-person and they're doing virtual, right? So they're doing the hybrid thing. And we'll talk about both of these and what these mean. It's $369 if you're going for all the days. And so I think that price has gone up a little bit with the recent price increases of everything, but it's not too much. I think Q is always in the mid 300s, or at least for the last few years anyway. So, or maybe, I can't remember exactly, but they also have an option called virtual with Saturday in person. So they're doing, if you want to just go online on Thursday, Friday, and then on Saturday you could show up in person. And that's for $179. So this is a big conference. This is where I get a lot of my ideas on like what to do as far as like new innovations in teaching, trying to see what other teachers are doing. It's not a huge higher ed pull for a lot of higher ed teachers. There's not a ton of us there. I am on the Higher Education Learning Network and part of that as well. But anyways, Q is a great conference. But this year, again, same type of thing. Teachers are already, I see them on Twitter all the time. They're like, is it going to really happen in person? Because they talked about it last year and it got switched, and they talked about it the year before and it got switched. And so it's like, it's been this kind of, you know, will they, won't they type of thing. But I am looking forward to it. And I feel pretty confident that it's going to happen in person this time around. So again, we'll jump into some of the details of what that looks like later.
Along those lines, we have the online teaching conference for California Community Colleges puts it on. Mm-hmm. That one is scheduled for June 29th through July 1st in person in Long Beach, California. Mm-hmm. $300, $299 for early registration. So this is, right now they're planning on pretty much in person. It doesn't only look like there's really a virtual or high flex option.
This is so weird, Tim.
For an online,
online teaching conference. And they're like, yeah, we're totally in person. I'm like, interesting choice
there. Now they do say for those people who are doing a proposal to be prepared to speak online, to present online just in case. And in fact, last year it was online and stuff. So it's a really good conference that's dedicated to higher education.
Yeah.
And
there are some
will pull people from all over.
Yeah. There are some teachers who are pretty upset about the in-person only thing. So kind of like you were talking about, right? Like I will never go to an in-person type of thing. And so they're like, particularly this conference. So we'll see if they actually hold the line with being only in person. Like you said, you might have to switch to your presentation mode, or maybe they'll put cameras in the rooms and stream them somehow. I'm not totally sure, but it's certainly an interesting choice for how they're setting that up. And then here's another thing, Tim. I just, you know, you and I had talked about this pre-show, but like, it's a little weird that it's going from June 29th to July 1st, because the fiscal year ends on June 30th. And so, so again, this is only like, you know, college teachers or community college teachers that are going to be dealing with this, but like, or well, maybe a lot of schools, right? June 30th is that fiscal year ends. And so you have to have collected and turned in all of your paperwork before that time, right? And but if you're in the middle of the conference, I don't know, it's going to be problematic, I think. I think it might cause some interesting, well, you know, the conference themselves, they don't have to worry about it very much, but like the you know, all the admins and the people who deal with paperwork and refunds and all those types of things, that's going to be interesting, I guess. It'll be a little bit of a challenge, maybe a little, just a little extra paperwork, I'm not sure.
Yeah, that's always a question.
So, all right. And then we got one other one. I mean, there's lots of other conferences coming up, but we're just kind of trying to look at some of the varieties here.
Well, and especially a big one, InstructureCon. Mm. InstructureCon 2022. Now, this was a huge conference. Then they went online, and now they're going to stay online. But instead of like they did last year where it was one day and it was literally like 24 hours as of Greenwich Mean Time or something like that, they're doing it. North America is doing July 14th.
Okay.
Asia and the Pacific is August 11th. Latin America is September 14th. And Europe and the Middle East is September 28th.
Oh, so it's a real...
So they broke it by region.
Big time broken by region, but also time. Like, I'm surprised that it's like, you know, it's like several months across. Like, it's not like, hey, we're doing this one.
July to September, right?
Yeah, it's not like we're doing this one this... you know, this week and this next one the next week or something like that. It's like, it's kind of all spread out. So it's interesting. Mm-hmm. This one's
free.
Free. Okay. That's nice. Cause InstructorCon was not always free if I remember correctly. Right.
when it was in person, it was not free.
Not free.
But they have, when they went online, they really did do a lot to try to make it so that they can put out a quality product for free. And a lot of that goes in the fact that they're not paying their presenters and stuff like that. So they can do a lot of this for a lot less money than it cost them before. Yeah. Now that they're online.
That's probably wise. You know, mm-hmm. especially if you're a company that's selling a product and doing, you know, and running a conference, right? Like you're really pitching that product the entire time. The whole thing's a commercial, right? And I'm not, you know, not dismissing it at that level. Of course, like, you know, there's tons of valuable things to learn inside of there. But like running it for free is, you know, does make sense in this case for sure. Cause it's not a full collection of all sorts of different things. It's all based on teaching out of Canvas, right?
Well, and tools that get added that can be added into Canvas and stuff like that. So it is a pretty full day. Mm-hmm. They haven't really announced what all is happening on those days yet, but you can sign up now for information. And that's one of the cool things is you can sign up in advance. You can propose to speak at the Middle East Africa conference if that is something you're interested in, even from the United States. You know, whatever it is that you're interested in doing, is now becoming available, even though you couldn't afford to fly to South Africa to be at a conference there, if that's what you were looking to do.
It's great for sure. Like I'm an international speaker now and I've never left my, you know, my, bedroom. Left my basement. yeah. So I do like that. I think that there's a lot of flexibility in that as well. So let's kind of talk and jump over, Tim, and break down what to consider when we're looking at these different types of conference.
So as we look at this, we're going to start with the online conference, the online environment, like we're talking about with Canvas. Mm-hmm. In that environment, frankly, I have tried to attend several conferences over the last year and a half, and some of them I haven't even been in at all. Yeah. The conference is up on my computer and all I have to do is click in the middle of taking care of an issue for a student and taking care of this for a faculty member. And, you know, all of the stuff of life that, oh, well, you know, I'll just get to that later. Mm-hmm. And 3 hours later I go, oh, that was the one I wanted to be at. So That said, well, I've got a couple of strategies that might help.
I'm going to pause you right here, Tim, because I just out of pure curiosity, that was the one that I wanted to be at, which I hear so much. And it's like, oh, well, the beauty of it is you can go watch the recording. Mm-hmm. Have you ever gone back and watched a recording?
No.
Yeah. Same. I might have done it once, but like,
I'm saying no because I can't remember a time, but I have skimmed through a couple. Oh, they're teaching me about this one thing I need to know, and so I'll fast forward. Mm-hmm. But I've not watched it.
It's not the same thing as being in the moment with it, right? No. Like going back and watching that video. I mean, it's like, okay, then just put it up on YouTube, and I'll you know, maybe it'll show up in a search sometime, right? So that is, mm-hmm. I mean, I love the concept of it, and I totally understand that there are some people who do go take advantage of it, and there are, but I think my guess is that the vast majority do not actually take advantage of the replay options.
Right.
You know, I think it's a great feature, and it's well-meaning, and a lot of well-meaning teachers say, okay, I'll take advantage of it. But like, one of the things to me about conferences is like supposed to be, now I am making the time for this conference, right? Like now I am setting myself up. I am removing the other issues. I am pulling away the distractions. I am getting my head into the moment of this. And again, we'll jump into some of these, but I feel like for me and for a lot of people, a lot of my colleagues that have gotten burnt out on online conferences over the last couple of years, this is part of the conversation, is like, we are just tired of staring at the screen more, right? And then when we are staring at the screen, the second monitor is equally as likely to get our attention, and you know, like the flashing lights and the animated GIFs and whatever else might be happening, or you know, maybe a family member walks in the room behind us and asks for something, right? There's all sorts of things that do distract us. And again, I want to be careful because I'm not trying to dismiss like the benefits of these things, but I also think it's like, well, I have been more distracted in online conferences in 1 hour of online conferences than I am in like a 3 day full on in person conference where I'm like, hey, my head's in this. I'm here for this right now. So it's interesting.
And so from that perspective, the last conference I attended, I actually did attend much of the conference, mm-hmm. because I did some of the stuff that we're going to talk about.
Okay, great.
First of all, I had to focus on the conference.
Yeah.
I shut down, and you mentioned, that second screen popping up. In my office, I have three screens plus another laptop plus, you know, a phone plus, you know, all of that going on. In order to attend the conference, I didn't answer the phone. I turned the volume all the way off so that I couldn't hear the ring. I scheduled the time. Okay, I'm going to be in this meeting at this time. This is a meeting, mm-hmm. period. And I focused on the conference. That made it so I could actually attend the conference.
Yeah.
I love, you mentioned this, when we were talking pre-show, taking notes on paper.
Yeah.
Okay. There's something different about just typing up the notes as you're going through and writing them down. That again, it takes you to that next level. It's a little more tactile, and it really does help focus on the conference.
I'm going to follow up with that one, Tim, just briefly. There's a big movement, which is wonderful, of the sketchnoting people. So like they take notes on paper or they do their iPad, but it's like, it's about drawing what you're hearing and like adding like images to it, and not just like, not just the traditional Cornell notes or whatever else it is, mm-hmm. which I am not a good sketchnoter. Don't get, you know, I'm not saying like that, but it's another thing where you're trying to put your brain and the tactile motion and the movement into the learning process. And I think even if you're just like, you know, making circles and flowers and little, you know, doodles with your pen, your brain is moving in a different way as you're listening. And so then you are more open to receiving and consuming the knowledge that you're getting, rather than just like, okay, typing, am I going to type the exact words that the person said over and over again, and then it's just kind of in my head and out of my head as quickly. I think there's a real connection there.
Yep. And so just a little side note on that. I actually got a product called a Rocket Book about 6 months ago. Mm-hmm. And the reason I got it is because I take notes on paper. Mm-hmm. It's not really paper. It's kind of a glossy thing, but in pen, I write it down and then I can get them in my computer by just simply taking a picture of it on an app with my phone.
Yeah, the
Rocketbook. And it emails it
cool.
to me.
Rocketbook is super
and
cool.
And so it was a way of getting the information available to me for search later mm-hmm. without typing it in. Because you're right. If I type it in, it's just in and out.
Yeah.
I'm not paying attention.
I've got a similar one, Tim, called Wipebook. And it's very similar to Rocketbook. But like Wipebook is you can use either Expo erase pens in it, or you can use like semi-permanent Expo erase pens. So the Expos you can just wipe off with the paper towel inside of the notebook, like inside of the actual paper book, or the semi-permanent ones you can write and they will stay, but you can just spray it and wipe them down later. Okay. And so I also really like Wipebook as an option for physically writing as well. So just a couple choices out there for you guys.
And going back to that, allows you to take notes. And frankly, if you never use it again, you've at least processed what you've heard and you're moving through. So it's really a neat way to handle that. The next part is being in a place without distractions. Okay. If your Canvas is up and you are seeing students posting to discussions or, oh, you need to grade this, your phone's ringing, you're checking emails, it's distracting.
Big time.
And it's... you're going to not be paying attention. You're going to figure, well, half of my brain is. Well, not really, because you're going to focus on something other than that conference and you're going to miss something that was important to you. And going back to what we said before, unlikely you're going to go back and rewind and rewatch that part of what you had seen.
Yeah.
So
can I add a little distraction commentary here? So I love the idea, and I've done this a few times, but I still get distracted. Like, so I try and take my laptop outside, like on the patio, and I'm like, okay, I'm just going to kind of get in like a little peaceful Zen mode out here and just kind of watch from outdoors. And there are parts of it that are like really nice, like, oh my God, like paying attention, like watching a conference from outside and whatever. But also, nature is equally distracting, or the cars driving by, or, you know, different things like that. So there are, you know, everyone has to figure out what works for them and what doesn't. But I have mixed feelings about that, because I'm like, I do like that idea of just being able to float and kind of go where I want to go. But not all of us have those choices for, you know, like, you know, I don't have a Zen garden. I have a little tiny patio on my back, you know, on our apartment. So it's just kind of, you know, something else to be aware of and see what does work for you and what doesn't work for you in terms of distractions.
Absolutely. Another part here, schedule time to attend the sessions you're interested in. All of these conferences have the ability to schedule. Oh, they tell you when the meeting is going to be. They give you a link. You can add it into your Outlook, whatever. And maybe you don't want to actually add it into Outlook. You want to have it someplace else so that you're not checking your email. But schedule that time. If you are going to be distracted and you have to check your email, schedule the time to do it and then leave it alone and physically turn it off so it's not popping up on your screen and stuff like that. Basically, let the people around you know you're at a conference. Mm-hmm. Because when you don't do that is when somebody's going to knock on your door, somebody's going to stand beside you, somebody's going to whatever it is to get your attention, and now you've just gone back and you're not focusing on the conference anymore.
Yep,
for sure. So... the next part is, if the conference allows, and most seem to do this, find a way to interact with other attendees.
Yeah. this matters.
This is a big one.
Sure. This really does matter. So I'm going to follow up with this one, Tim. Like, as you know, I like Twitter as a, you know, as my primary social media form. And Twitter does great with the conferences because everybody kind of puts on their hashtags, they share, they, you know, they're kind of linked to all those ideas together. So it's really wonderful. But also some of them, like, you just pop in and there's like a chat box, right? If we're in a Zoom meeting, for example, and you got the chat going, take advantage of that chat, right? Like, share with each other, you know, talk to the other people that are involved in there. I think, you know, it is really valuable to not only hear from the one person who's talking, but also, like, you know, a lot of people throw in really good ideas, or like sometimes you get like that, that all-star attendee who's like, oh, here's the links to all this, the resources this person's talking about. You know, here's the Right Question Institute link, and here's the, you know, this program that he's talking about, and here's the video that he, you know, that they mentioned in the background or whatever. So sometimes you can get some really cool interactions with other people and resources that you wouldn't get if you're just kind of sitting there watching without adding that interactive element to it.
Along those lines, if you're posting in the chat, it's really nice if you can somehow reference what you're posting to. And by that, I mean, I don't know how many times I've seen in the chat, yes, I agree. And you're like, okay, but what did you agree with? Because there's been 10 other things that have come up. So, yeah. And maybe it's all of them, but that type of thing, if you can contextualize it, you'll actually engage other people more.
For sure.
And so there's that, but there's also a lot of these online conferences are using conference platforms that allow you to not inside when you're not in a breakout room or something like that to actually communicate with other people. Mm-hmm. So find out when your friends are going to be there. People that you've known from other conferences, maybe you haven't seen them in 2 years because nobody's seen anybody, and arrange a time to get together. But make it that social event that you were looking for from a conference anyway.
Yeah.
Because very few people go to conferences, sit by themselves in an in-person conference, sit by themselves, don't interact with anybody, and they get a lot out of it. No, you, part of what you get out of it is relationships, and you get to know somebody else and stuff like that. So try to build that into that online mm-hmm. environment. We mentioned this a little bit before. Try using one screen, preferably a large screen.
Yeah.
Okay. If you've got a little 13-inch, 10-inch screen, maybe an iPad, something like that, try casting it to your TV.
Yeah, we talked about this before. Yeah.
So just before the show, I tried it out, and you can cast to Roku. I've got a Chromecast as well, and I was able to cast, and they could actually hear exactly what was going on in Zoom. Now, I had to run Zoom inside my browser to do the Chromecast part, but you can do a lot of these casting things very easily. And frankly, if you're watching it on a big screen, it's a lot easier than trying to focus on this little tiny screen and, you know, when you're trying to actually focus on something.
Yeah.
Plus it gives you a nice place to write, and you can be comfortable and stuff at the same time.
So this kind of ties back also to the going outside thing is like, for me, like when I sit down in my little bedroom office here, it's like, this is like my work zone, right? And it's like all the where I always, you know, like I have a, whatever it is, it's like an emotional setting and a connection to that. And so I'm working, right? And so if I can move out to my sofa and cast it and watch full screen, like watch the presentation full screen on my TV, that is a different setting, right? It's moving myself to a different place. It's getting my brain into a different emotional setting. So yes, there might still be other distractions and, you know, whatever those types of things are, but I am moving myself out of my workplace at least and working from somewhere else. So I do like that idea a lot, and I'm gonna test out my own casting in the next couple of days as well. All right, so Tim, we talked about online. Let's do the full shift. Let's talk about in person, because you know this is the concern that a lot of people currently have. Totally legitimate concerns. But moving to in person conference here, What are some of the things that you're thinking you're going to see, like if you're going to go to an in-person conference or not see?
Well, and we'll start with not see, or well, we'll see that not everyone you expected to attend will be there. Mm-hmm. So some of the people that were at every conference, you might not know their name, but you saw their face every time. They're going to be staying at home because of various reasons. Mm-hmm. And you know, they might not want to even attend a conference anymore.
Sure.
I've heard from a number of people, I'm never going to go to an in-person conference again. Well, I hope that's not true. You know, I can understand that sentiment. Mm-hmm. And there's nothing wrong with that, but just be aware that they might not be there.
Yeah. That actually makes a difference too, because like I remember when some of my friends, like going back to Q, like some of my friends, I made some really great friends. I'm like, I see them every year. And then they're like, oh, the funding, you know, my school isn't going to fund it anymore, so I can't afford to go. And I'm like, oh, this is actually not the same experience without you. Like, right. You know, you make adjustments and you find other people, but it can be like really a lot to like, once you start kind of finding your group of people and you're like, every year I get to see them, we're going to hang, and that's gone, or that could be gone. Yeah. So it's really, mm-hmm. It's a shift.
Right. You also now, I feel like you need to be more aware of others, mm-hmm. other people who are attending. Do you shake hands? You know, I'm somebody who shakes hands all the time. Well, at this time, that might not be the best thing to do. Some people will, okay, yes, I'll shake your hand because you've stuck your hand out there, and they're grabbing a bottle of hand sanitizer the moment you walk away.
They're like rubbing their
some people, yeah, exactly. some people are huggers. You walk up to them and they're going to give you a hug. Mm-hmm. Okay. I don't know that I want my face that close to somebody right now. Mm-hmm. And frankly, eating. I was in a room today and somebody's like, can you imagine what this room is like now that we've got COVID and these tables are 3 feet across and you got 4 or 5 people at this table? Mm-hmm.
Oh,
how are we going to do that?
Do you notice this?
You're
Tim?
Like, whoa,
this is a little bit gross, but like, I am so much more aware now of like, when a little piece of spittle comes out of my mouth, when I like, you know, like it's gross, but like, I'm just eating with my wife. Right. And like, I see it now every time. I'm like, of course, you know, spittle happens, right. Mm-hmm. It's a part of the fact that we have mouths, but, but like, I see it, I'm like, oh, like my disease is out there. Right. And so I think it's going to be a really interesting part. I do think though, the handshakes, I think that there's like a more wider growing acceptance for things like fist bumps or elbow bumps, right? Mm-hmm. I think the elbow bumps is really like the kind of the thing that people are most comfortable with right now. Even if that's not something we grew up with, I think that's kind of the way, at least for a while, that people are going to kind of, you know, like, oh, are you cool? Like, you know, you're trying to be respectful of what other people's boundaries are. And I think that's kind of the one that is like, we're still touching, but we're also trying to be a little safe and distance from each other.
Well, and understand when somebody just doesn't want to touch.
Yeah.
You know, and they're not trying to be disrespectful. They're not trying to be whatever. They just don't feel like touching. Mm-hmm. And that's, you've got to understand that distance, whatever that is for the other person.
Yeah.
And go with the longest one between you. You know, if you don't want to touch people, they should be able to respect that, even if they're huggers.
Yeah.
So, you know, and
sorry,
along those lines, be aware of other attendees' concerns like masks. Some people are against masks. Mm-hmm. Some people are going to be double masked. Some people are looking around for the rubber gloves to put on and long sleeves, and you know, they're going to be completely covered up. Okay. People are going to, everybody's breaking out of their shells, mm-hmm. in a different way. So be aware that there's other things going on, and just be, I hate to say be human, but be respectful, be that person that people go, okay, you know, they might not agree with me, but they're respecting me and they're allowing me to be comfortable in this environment.
I wonder if anyone's going to show up in a hazmat suit. I mean, that's what I'm going to look for.
Probably. Well, I'm guessing many of them would not come, but you know, there is something to be said for showing up at a conference and, you know,
hey, I'm there.
It is, especially when you get somebody who's coughing and sneezing next to you, you kind of wish you had one. Mm-hmm, so,
mm-hmm. Okay. A couple more things for in-person. What else should we be watching out for or thinking about?
Leave the distractions at home. Mm. So while you might have a laptop that you're going to take notes on or a pad of paper or something like that, you're going to take notes on, maybe you don't want to have the full headset that you would use in Zoom and, you know, all of that stuff. Just leave some of that other distraction at home.
Right. Yeah. You can minimize it, right? Focus on being right there. I think this is an issue that a lot of us talk about with like just social media in general is like, we're so distracted by everything. So what can you reduce? What do you not need to have with you all the time? Mm-hmm. And then a couple quick last things here. I think, you know, just, as you mentioned, being aware of what's happening around you, but like, you know, one thing that to be aware of is whether or not that session is being streamed or being recorded. And so, you know, these conferences are not going to be set up like our lecture capture rooms, right? Probably not. And so if you're asking a question to the speaker and the people who are watching online, they're almost definitely not going to hear what your question is, right? And so I think that one, you could speak up louder, or two, if you're a presenter, repeat the question so that people listening can hear what's going on.
Mm-hmm. And the other part is engage with the speaker.
Yeah.
Don't have it just be, you know, a speaker pontificating on something. Okay, any questions? Okay, bye. You know, just engage. Make it lively, because nobody online especially wants to hear something that's just speech and no interaction. But also, this is a time when we're talking about engagement with students, engagement with other faculty. Engage that speaker, have a dialogue where appropriate. Mm-hmm. And make it a much more lively. We've had a year and a half to 2 years where we haven't been doing this. Let's break out of the shells a little bit and have that engagement.
I'm going to be a little careful with this one though, Tim, because there are some people that don't have the awareness and some people, you'll see this, you know, used to see this all the time back in the day in conferences, was like one person just keeps like hounding on weird questions or weird ideas that don't totally matter or like totally pull the speaker out of what they're trying to get at. It's like, hey, just like let the guy keep going or let her keep speaking a little bit more. Right. I think people do want to talk to, they do want to interact, but also, you know,
appropriate
balance it, right?
Yes. Okay. You know, I'm talking more about laughing at their dad jokes and stuff like that. You know, please, engage.
Please. all right. So the last one, and we kind of blended a little bit of this conversation in the last section, but the mm-hmm. high flex. So, you know, I think Tim, you know that I am pretty opposed to high flex in classrooms, but I think that there's actually a lot of interesting places for high flex in the conference settings. Like, I really think mm-hmm. there's room for this. I really think that there's a good setting for this, because this, so high flex, again, if I haven't been clear with this, this is where the person, you know, the presenter's in person, a lot of people might be in the room together with them, but it's also streaming online and people can interact with the online version of it as well, right? So it's like mm-hmm. you're watching the live event and you chatting online can chat with the other people who are online, but then there's also people physically in the room, right? And so, so as I said, I think that some of this, you know, might have some of the same shortcomings, and we'll get into this in a minute. But I think, that there are also some real benefits to this, because not, you know, everybody can still get access to the information, right? And this is the big argument for a lot of people that are saying like online is great. Is like, hey, yes, absolutely. Learners, whether you're a conference attendee or whether you're a student, you can get access to it without like, you know, without too much extra beyond what you have what you need. So like, hey, I have an internet connection. I have a computer. I can see what this person is saying. I don't have to go out of my comfort zone, or I have to take care of my grandma and I can't risk a situation like that. I think all of those things are really wonderful choices. But I want to share, and Tim, I don't know if you have any thoughts on this. The problem for me here, potential problem for teaching, which is that it's a great setup for a lecture type of situation. Hey, I'm just going to present you with the information. Do with it what you will. A little bit of light interaction is okay, right? But it's not necessarily the best for like a workshop or you know, trying to really do like, hey, okay, we're gonna get you guys into little groups. You're gonna do elbow partners, and you're gonna, you know, move around the room and chat with other people and go freely and figure out this thing over there, and you know, let's get some TPR, the total physical response, movement, action, all those types of things. Those will not happen in the online part of a high flex setting. And so before COVID, there was a big movement in professional development to like, let's make things more fun. Let's make things more active. Let's make them more interactive, all of those types of things. And then I think back with COVID, we kind of moved more back towards like a lot of the sit and get and a lot of the lecturing, which is, you know, not as exciting.
And so maybe the presenter gets to use tools like Kahoot or something like that to try to engage, but that it does require the presenter to be more cognizant of what's going on and how to engage those people that are in both environments. Mm-hmm. And that's, which is the struggle that it is for teaching in a classroom. It's the struggle that it is for giving an online workshop. It can even be the same struggle in person, is you always have to be thinking about the environment and the people that are attending. Yeah. One of the things that I found very helpful as a presenter, almost all of my presentations are this high flex. Mm-hmm. But what I will often do is have somebody else in the room that's managing the chat.
Yes.
That's big interacting time with them, with whoever's chatting, and they're asking questions, they're bringing it up, and it helps them keep me on task.
You know, so what's cool about that too, Tim?
And interactive.
Like, yeah, that is also like a, I don't know how to describe it. It's like a hype man or a hype woman, right? Because they can also like do things in the chat to like keep people engaged. If you're well planned, right? It's and like they can actually do things that are like, okay, let's keep thinking about this. Let's keep doing our work too. So I do like that option a lot. And again, we've kind of mentioned that might be a real effort in like future of teaching. All teaching in general is like the teacher's assistant or the, you know, the producer of the class is going to be doing some interesting stuff as well. So yeah.
And that goes back to what you were mentioning before, where in online, sometimes you've got a big fan that is putting in notes constantly in the chat and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. That's what that person can do. But it takes preparation ahead of time, and done well, high flex can be really, really good. Mm-hmm. And so we are seeing more and more of that. In environments, especially when there might be travel to a conference, we're going to see some of that where, well, okay, so the people who can make it do, but this allows for those other people to contribute as well. And frankly, at IVC, we're seeing more and more conferences that we present, little, you know, welcome to IVC type of things, going more towards a high flex type system, because it allows for that quick transition between topics and stuff like that, that it doesn't, you don't really get necessarily in an in-person.
Yeah. Yeah. I think the big thing for success behind a high flex situation, which is, I mean, it shouldn't be, but it's kind of antithetical to a lot of education, which is pour the resources into it, right? Pour the money into it, make it actually cool and make it work. And, you know, obviously as teachers, we know we're kind of shoestringing so much stuff. And even when we have access to money, we don't always have access to that much money, right? So, I think that there's, once people start going, oh, hold on a second, we will pay someone to do this, to be this producer level person, or we will, pay someone the money that it costs to prepare their presentation for this conference or whatever it is. A lot of conferences still aren't paying their presenters, or in fact, they're even charging their presenters to come to the conferences. Whole other rant that I can get on in the future. But I think that there is a space for it, but the resources also have to come along with it to make it really truly successful.
Absolutely. Thank you for listening today. In this episode, we talked about conference strategies in the time of COVID. For more information about this show, please visit our website at thehigheredtechpodcast.com. There you'll find our podcast and links to the information we've covered.
As always, we do want your feedback, so please go to thehigheredtechpodcast.com and let us know your thoughts. If you have ideas for future shows, there's a link on that page where you can give us your topic ideas.
For everyone at IVC that's listening, if you need help with technology questions, please contact IVC Technical Support at extension 5696 or by emailing ivctech@ivc.edu. If you have questions about technology in your classroom, please contact me, Tim Van Norman, at tvannorman@ivc.edu.
And if you want to reach out to me about the show, you can find me on Twitter or Instagram at Brent G. Warner.
I'm Tim Van Norman.
And I'm Brent Warner, and we hope this episode has helped you on the road from possibility to actuality. Hope to see you at the conferences.